Thank you, Zakir, for introduction. My name is Mohammed Rezairad, and I'm presenting the Schrodinger's rat, profiling the stakeholders in rat ecosystem. And this is the collaborative work between George Mason, UC San Diego Informant Networks, UC Berkeley, and NYU. And don't worry, this is a security talk, not a physics talk. All right. What is a rat? RAT stands for Remote Access Trojan. A RAT is a type of crimeware that provides direct, interactive control over a victim computer to its operator. RATs enable the attacker to steal private data, spy on the victim in real time using a camera, microphone, and even interact directly with the victim via a chat box.
Could you point the microphone toward
you, please? Sure. All right. Unfortunately, there are a variety of RAT families offering rich functionality that are free to download. There are also detailed tutorial and support communities, easily accessible in hack forums, and now almost anyone can use this class of crimeware. RAT are mainly used by unsophisticated attackers like script kiddies and warriors. The most common motivation for RAT usage are sextortion, voyeurism, and blackmailing. However, previous research has shown that nation states have also used this freely available RAT for some targeted operation against political dissent and for industrial espionage. A RAT has two pieces. One is the stop that is installed on victim computer. The other is the controller that allows an attacker to control the victim computer and to interact with the victim. This is what security community referred to as C2, or Command and Control Server. Some RAT operators use dynamic DNS services in order to freely switch between IP addresses. DDoS is cheap, almost free, and allow RAT operator to quickly churn through IP addresses and switch domains, making it difficult to block the controller. Some DDoS services even offer APIs, which are built directly into RAT controller. Normally, free DNS domains names expire and become available to re-register after 30 days. This quick expiration creates an opportunity to claim and sinkhole recently active RAT C2's domain, and this allows us to understand the aftermath of RAT campaigns. And to determine who have been affected by them. Although knowing the RAT DNS resolution history of these domain names, we can scan for active C2s in order to qualify and understand who might be operating behind them. RAT can and do cause lasting harm to people's lives. Because of this, we are motivated to take this step forward and study RAT ecosystem. We essentially wanted to understand what is this relationship of RAT victims and attacker and who they are. In order to study RAT ecosystem, there is this naive approach of sinkholing and scanning that seems to be a standard operation for industry and research. In this approach, RAT samples are obtained and decoded, and then continuously scanned by targeted RAT scanner, or RAT domains are sinkholed if not already taken down. In this work, we're going to show you some of the issue with this naive approach, and also show you how you could possibly overcome some of these issues. We set out with this naive approach. Waters Hotel was kind enough, giving access to us to collect RAT samples. We went after the Angel RAT and Dark Comet families because there were two of the five most prevalent RAT families. And they represent the two type of RAT protocols we found RAT use. During the course of 9 months, we were able to discover about 4,000 Angel RAT and 22,000 Dark Comet RAT samples. Out of these, we could extract about 8,000 NoIP domains. NoIP is the most popular DNS service for RAT operators. And we were right about our hypothesis that we could claim a lot of this domain. During 31 days of syncoling, we syncoled about 6,000 no IP domains, that almost 80% of domain in our data set, where 4,000 of these were Darkroom and 2,000 were NJRat. We also scanned for RAT-C2 domains. During the course of 9 months, we found 2,000 Darkroom and 4,000 NJRat live C2s. Our research didn't go unnoticed. According to Sheldon, George Mason, Temporary became the largest RAT operator on the internet. We received a lot of warning from private security firms. And this is one of the points of this research, that an operation like ours could be so taken mistakenly from the massive RAT operation, waste notification, and corrupt measurement. So this is the story of how we became the largest RAT honey on the internet. During these 30 days of RAT syncoling, we're hit by over 153 million connections, and that's more than 800,000 IP addresses. We syncoled 6,000 domains, and that means each of these domains should have received about 150 IP addresses associated with them, right? These domains probably don't have this many victims associated with them. And this confirm or suspicious that there's gonna be a lot of pollution when you operate a sinkhole. Our initial hypothesis is that there are a lot of port scanner that scan internet. So we begin to build a higher fidelity sinkhole that we call RATHole, that either parses the payload that comes from connected peers. This is good for those RAT families who initiate the RAT protocol like NJRat. And also, RATHole sends the first payload of those RAT families similar to DarkComet, where the C2 initiate the RAT protocol and we wait for the correct response. And this melts away a lot of IP addresses. So we filtered about 129 million connections made by unknown peers, which do not speak any supported RAT protocols. That brings down the number of IP addresses about 12,000. Okay. Next, we did a deeper protocol analysis for the 12,000 remaining IP addresses. We did things like protocol execution pattern, how malform packets are handled, payload structure, protocol field formatting. We noticed a lot of these still didn't look like a real victim. So our next hypothesis is that there are some higher fidelity scanner that implement the first part of the RAT handshake and possibly more of the RAT protocol. In order to remove these, we implemented the complete RAT protocol handshake. And sure enough, we're like 5,000 addresses that originated from these high fidelity scanners. Now we are only down to 7,000 potential victims, right? But there are antivirus companies that oftentimes run malware in sandboxes. We had a sneaking suspicion that some of these IP addresses are sandboxes and not a real victim. Now we turn to kind of a behavior analysis of malware in order to detect these sandboxes. The key feature we found is antivirus company run malware sample normally not for long because they have millions of malware sample to run, and they are only limited to resources in terms of VM to run them. So what they typically do is to run sample for a short period of time. With this plus other sandbox detection profiles, we remove some of these IP addresses, and this leaves us with 6,000 victims. Now we have 6,000 IP addresses, but this is likely we are overcounting it, because victims are gonna change IP addresses over the course of our measurement. So in order to overcome this, based on parsing information we got from RAT handshake, we were able to build up a fingerprint of an actual victim. So in order to overcome this, we create this fingerprint that we could correctly enumerate victims, not based on IP addresses. And so from this, we could reduce these 6,000 IP addresses down to 3,000 unique infections. Now, we can get this really accurate estimate of victims. Now, we can get to this original question of measuring the RAD ecosystem. And for the rest of the talk, we're going to talk about these particular 2,000 victims when we talk about measurements. And the first thing we can look at is the size of each attacker in terms of victims. Out of 975 domains that yield victim, 43% has only one victim, and 90% of domain have 20 victims or less. And on the higher end, we found three particular domains that appear to be larger in infection, with over 100 victims each. Before removing this pollution, we wouldn't be able to get these accurate numbers. It would be look like every domain had few hundred victims. And this is interesting because now we can look into these three particular campaigns that are really large for future investigation. Remember, free new IP domains automatically expire after 30 days and become available to be re-registered. From our measurement, 10% of domain yielded victim even up to 150 days after they expired or they last registered. This is half a year we saw them after they were abandoned by somebody or their campaign is ended. And this potentially could create a problem where one could recycle these domains just like how we did it and further misuse victim residue. These long-lived domains could present a problem because we are not the only one can sync all these domains. I guarantee you, we don't have any special power. So other attacker could potentially sync all these domains and re-exploit these victims. So we found that virtually every country has some RAD victims, with Brazil being the top location for victim for dark comet and NJ RAD families, and Egypt and Turkey from the second largest population of victims for NJ RAD and dark comet respectively. To understand the ecosystem, we didn't just look at victims. Also, we need to look at their attacker. We did this cursor scanning, we tracked the DNS registration history of all these domains, and also we tried to track still live C2s by active scanning. We could study these attacker by building a high fidelity RAD scanner, we call it RAD scan, and something here to point out is that we did a lot of manual effort to discover likely RAD hosting infrastructure and VPN services. There's a problem with VPN services that probably don't reveal the location of attacker. A handful of VPN providers provide nearly 40% of all of the C2 we encounter. This makes it even more challenging to track these C2s. And that takes us to the relationship between attacker and victim. This is who attacks who. Most often, attacker and victim are in the same country. There is this large victim-attacker association with Russia, Brazil, and Turkey. The other observation is that neighboring geolocations tend to attack each other, particularly in regions like North Africa, Middle East, as well as countries with same language, like the Eastern Bloc of former Soviet Union, what is now Russia and Ukraine. We know that Ukraine has a lot of Russian speakers, and this doesn't look like nation-state hacking, given the Russian-Ukraine currently in a conflict, but rather shared language infections. Also, Russia and Brazil have a large victim and attacker population. There is no obvious reason why attacking Russia might be targeting victims in Brazil. A possibility might be that attacker were using a proxy service in Russia were missed by or filtering. So in all, what we learn is there is these other stakeholder in rat ecosystem that introduce measurement pollution. Measurement from sinkholing and scanning shouldn't be taken without true analysis. You need this analysis to take an accurate measurement of victim and attacker. If you just run a sinkhole, probably the number that you're getting are horribly polluted. Particularly in our measurement, they found that about 98% of connection were pollution. Further, every time we scrutinize our victim, we found a new way to discard nearly half of them as imposters. Also, we identified there is this campaign residue aftermath, and there are targetable infrastructure hosting rat attackers. Thank you for your time, and I will now take your questions.
All right, any questions? Okay, I guess I have one for you. I'm wondering if you can comment about the domains that you are able to sinkhole versus ones that aren't. Do you think that has any impact on the results and the numbers that you're seeing?
That's a very interesting question. What we found about the history of this domain, there were probably claimed by other, security companies or researcher, because we found that, this domain had a lot of IP address associated with them. But for sure, we cannot say if it was the actual operator, churning through IP addresses, or it could be just like different, sensor pick them up. And the other interesting thing about these domains are they're from NoIP, which is one of the famous dynamic DNS service. It's a flavor for rat operators.
So one second question, I guess. Do you have a sense of what that residual noise is coming to, what that breakdown is of other researchers, whether they're old clients? Like, what is that due to, that noise that you cut out?
So the... when I say 98% is actually a lot of these internet scanners like ZMAP. And, but from that point on to the next four stage of our analysis, we could see the breakdown of like 50% most of the time, where we found that there are other targeted scanner, and also there were sandboxes executing the real samples, and you could see the contribution of the security researcher at that point.
All right. Well, let's take Mohammed.
Thank you.